If you'd like to open your Bibles tonight to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and James chapter 1, we will look at those two verses here in just a few minutes. If you remember now, we're looking at the subject of communication in a mini-series within the book of Ephesians on the home. We've looked over the last couple of weeks at the purpose of communication. We looked this morning at the potential for communication. It's been said that love is the heartbeat of marriage. Well, if love is the heartbeat of marriage, then communication would be its lifeblood. Because without communication, love is not going to last too long. At least not the kind that is required for marriage. It also has been said that the way to a man's heart is through his stomach. If that's true, then this next statement should be true. The way to a woman's heart is through her ear. It would do all of us men good to learn that. Most men don't learn that until they've been married about 20 years or too late. The way to a woman's heart is through her ear. But we've seen the potential this morning. Tonight I want to look at what I call the principles of communication. Now at the beginning, it may seem a little dull at the beginning. I'm going to give you some technical things at the beginning. I figure the more knowledge you have about communication, hopefully the better you can be at it. But the first aspect of the principles of communication that I want you to see is what I call the avenues of communication. Now, I'm not talking about turn on the radio and you can hear some words. I'm not talking about, you know, watching TV. And I'm talking about communication between people. There's three avenues that I want you to consider with me. By the way, these are biblical too, by the way. The first one is verbal communication. Of course, this is how all communication and just off the cuff thinking, well, it's all verbal. No. Really, truthfully, the least amount of communication is verbal. God verbally inspired His Word, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 16. Right? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That's verbally, each and every word is verbally given by God. Now, words, of course, are used to give forth a message. Words have meanings, right? Words have meanings that are used to describe your thoughts and my thoughts to each other, right? Now, the problem is that is this. Different people have different meanings for the same word, right? And some of you, all you know would be $20 words. Some people know only $5 words. You know, if you want to appreciate $20 words, spend all weekend with your three-year-old grandson. And it makes you appreciate more value words because there's only a certain level of words there. Right? That's the reason why your wife, after spending all day with two or three kids, when you come home, she wants your ear. She wants to talk to a more intelligent life form. You know? But we men sometimes forget that. But communication has different meanings. You know, you put together a Yankee and a Southerner, and you have the same word, but different meanings. You bring somebody from California here and try to feed them in the South, and you tell them we're going to have grits, or somebody from up north, tell them we're going to have grits in it. What's that? You know, I've got some grit in my shoe from time to time, they might say. And, you know, rub a blister on your heel, but they don't know what good cooking is. See? So you have different people having different meaning for the same word. Again, truly, only about 10% of the impact of communication comes from the words used. Now get that. Only about 10% of the impact of communication comes from the words that are used. Again, God uses verbal communication. The second aspect of communication is what I call vocal. Now, this includes, of course, many things. Vocal would include, of course, the tone of voice. In other words, this includes how you say something. You know, I could look at you and I could say, I'm not mad. Verbally, I could look at you verbally and vocally say, I'm not mad. And if I said it that way, you wouldn't believe me. Would you? No, because my tone of voice undid what I said verbally. So vocally, especially for women, is very important. Men, we need to understand that our vocal communication can totally undo our verbal communication. And of course, it includes emphasis given upon any word. And by the way, God is vocal when it comes to His communication. All you have to do is study the Greek language. And I don't know about Hebrew too much, but you study the Greek language and God is very emphatic with certain words. I mean, He places certain words at the beginning of a sentence that in English is totally messed up. I mean, they'll put the direct object in the first place. They'll put modifiers in the very first place. They, you know, just twist everything up in the Greek sentence. Why? Because God is being vocal. He is emphasizing something that He wants said for whatever reason. The length of pauses between things that are said is a vocal communication. You know, if you're talking to your husband and you ask him a question and he doesn't say anything for a long time, you probably have two thoughts. First thought is, he's paying me no attention. Number two, he didn't hear me. And there's probably a third one in there. He's thinking about a response so it won't get him in trouble. You know, that's probably what the third thing is. But nonetheless, you have the pause between words or things that are said, and all of these things are used in communication. And now get this, approximately 40% of all the impact of communication comes from our vocal. 40%. You know, again, I mentioned the tone of voice. You know, tone of voice can convey a sarcastic attitude or a sweet attitude. Have you ever taken a baby and with a tone of voice say, "You're the ugliest little thing I've ever seen." And what does he do? I mean, he just takes it in, right? Why? Because he's not impressed with your verbal communication. It's your tone of voice that he's catching on to. And he likes your tone of voice. So he pays attention to you. You know, you can say all kind of things. You can say you're the dumbest thing I ever. You can say anything you want to a baby with the right tone of voice, and he's going to respond to it. Dogs are the same way. You know, you can talk to a dog like that with a good tone of voice and tell him how ugly he is and how much he stinks and all kind of crazy things, and the dog just, I mean, he just likes it. But to a baby, raise your voice, change your tone of voice, and make it harsh and see what happens. He will almost always immediately cry. And a dog will almost automatically cower. Or why do we think we don't have the same response when it comes to our wife? Same thing happens. Why? Because more is communicated. A greater impact comes from the vocal than from the verbal. You can even with a tone of voice convey understanding. You can convey a criticalness. You can convey a lovingness or a harshness. All comes from the tone of voice. Third thing, and this is where I'm going to pick up the verse in 2 Corinthians 3, in verse number 2. It says, "Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men." Now, principle number 3. The avenues of communication, first is verbal, secondly vocal, thirdly, visual. This would be what some people call nonverbal communication. This is what some people call body language. It's the facial expressions that go along with it. It's the eye contact that comes when you're communicating something. Listen, men, we need to understand this. If we don't look eye to eye with our wife when we're communicated, most of the communication that we think we have done, she hasn't gotten. Did you get that? Women communicate different than we men. And we've got to learn that if we're going to communicate with our wives. Young men, looking for a wife, learn this principle. You'll get one quicker. But facial expressions, eye contact, posture, the way you, you know, the mannerisms that you use, hand gestures, you know, it tells a lot about what you're communicating. For married people, touch. If you can sit, talk, hold your wife's hand, your communication is going to go a whole lot further than if you don't touch her during your See, if you don't touch your wife during your conversation, especially if it's a conversation about something that you might just be a little opposing with, and she, when the conversation is through, is not going to feel like you've reached agreement or done anything that's very fruitful. But if you can touch her, hold her hand, and hold it in the right way, you know, not squeeze it in two, but, you know, hold it nice and soft and gentle-like when you get through communicating, she's going to feel a whole lot better about the whole process. But there's a lot that goes into this. See, the visual reveals much about our attitude. You know, if you're talking to me, and this is true from me to you, when I'm preaching to you, if you're sitting there going, you know, it's hard for me to read. You know, if I made you mad, or your wife made you mad, or you made your wife mad before you came to church, you know, there's a lot of reasons why people have certain looks on their face. But if you're sitting there looking like you're in pain, I don't know if I need to stop the service and call for the emergency people to come help you, or what's going on. But some of you sit there, you know, like, yeah, you know, I mean, you sort of encourage me with your when you're looking at me smiling. The same would be true when we're looking at our wife smiling when we're trying to get across something to them. See? And it's this visual that reflects our emotions. It's the visual that reflect to our mate how we're feeling about whatever they're saying. And it can express our pleasure with what's being said. It can express our disapproval, our anger, or happiness, or sadness, or confusion. You know, if somebody's sitting there, you know, they're not. Something's not registering what you're saying. I mean, in classes, a lot of times that I've taught, when I see that confused look on their face, I back up and go over it again. Many times I do that. Why? Until I see the light come on. And you can tell as a teacher or a preacher when the light comes on. And the visual communication has a lot to do with that. See, regardless of the words we use, visual expression is more likely to reveal the true meaning of our communication. And between 50 and 60% of the impact of communication is derived by the hearer, the receiver, from the visual mode of communication. So, which is the most important? I mean, we men sometimes, we're very careful about the words we use. But we fail to work on the vocal side, not realizing that women are so much different than men. I can raise my voice to every man in here, and it wouldn't affect you men hardly at all. But I can raise my voice to the women, and they're upset. I mean, God let me see that years ago when my oldest daughter was in junior high school, and I coached her basketball team. And I coached the boys' basketball team, too. And there's no way that I could say to the girls what I said to the boys. I mean, you know, here's a girl doing something totally wrong. And I say, hey, what you doing? You know, that's immediately the reaction of girls when you ask them that question. And the guy would just stop and tell you what he's doing, why he's doing it. And you say, well, that's wrong. You shouldn't be doing that. That's not what I told you to do. And he'll just stand there and look at you till you tell him what to do. The girl just cries all the way by me. You can forget telling her anything the rest of that day. That's the way it is. So how we say is, when it comes to our mates, men, is more important than what we've said. And we need to realize that and see that. But the Word of God, again, speaks to us verbally, vocally, and God speaks visually. Get this now. God speaks visually through us. He speaks through us to other people. Visually. So what people see in us, is it important for God's communication to a lost and dying world? Is it important how we dress? Is it important when it comes to the fads that we may follow? Is it important what they hear us listening to? Is it important what they see us watching? Is it? Yes, it is. Why? Because God visually is speaking to a lost and dying world through us. But the three ways, the three avenues of communication that we need to realize, verbal, vocal, and visual. Now, most of us in this room will spend more of our time listening than speaking. You're almost always going to go through life spending more time listening than speaking. About 70% of your awakened hours are going to be spent in some communication, some kind. And about 45% of that time, it's going to be spent listening. Now, with that in mind, I want to give you the second thing I want you to see under the principles of communication tonight. First of all, the avenues. Secondly, the attention of communication. The attention of communication. Now, the attention of communication is listening. The attention of communication is listening. You're in James. Notice chapter 1. James chapter 1. This is a very biblical principle. Verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Biblical principle in communication is be swift to hear, slow to speak. Now, those two go together. I want to give you five things real quick, and we're going to look at some other biblical verses in just a minute along this line. But the attention of communication is listening. The first thing that should be done in this attention of communication, this listening mode, is first, number one, respect your mate. Respect your mate. Now, this is one area that over my years of pastoring and counseling with people that are having problems in their marriage is probably the number one problem for a man. Most men, when it comes, if there's problems in the marriage, most men do not respect their mate. I want you to get this. Most men do not respect their mate. And what I'm talking about here, they won't let them talk. Listen, what your wife has to say, men, she has as much right to say it as you do, what you say. She has as much right to say it as you do. And you don't have any more right as the man to tell her she can't say it than she could look at you and say, tell you not to say something. Now, if she looked at you and told you not to say something, ooh, you wouldn't like it, would you? Well, why do you expect her to take it when you tell her, you know, be quiet, don't talk. When you do that, you're treating your wife like a child, and she's not a child. You have no right to say that to your wife. None. You're trying to do something that God doesn't do. God gives you a right to speak your mind. Doesn't He? Yeah. You should give her the right to speak hers. And if you don't let her, you are not respecting your mate. You got to understand something, and I'll say this again somewhere through our series. A lot of men treat a communicating setting as if they have to win. Understand something. In an argument, you may win, but you still lose. There's no winners in an argument. You need to understand, as husband and wife, there's no winners in an argument. Number one, the attention of communicating and respect your mate. Number two, remove all distractions. It is not good to be talking with your mate and not pay her any attention. I learned this a long time ago. My wife and I were talking one afternoon. She was bearing her heart on something, and I said, and you know, I was sitting in such a way that I could see right out the window. And right in the midst of her bearing her heart, I said, that is the biggest squirrel I've ever seen in my life. She got up, walked out of the room. And well, she should have. Because I allowed myself to be distracted with this big, I mean, it was a huge squirrel. It really was. It was. And then another time we were talking, and I've learned I don't do this much anymore. I was sitting where I could see out the other window facing the road, and one of the prettiest red trucks I've ever seen in my life went down the road. And I just sort of, And she said, what are you looking at? I said, that truck was beautiful. Again, up and out she went. And as well she should have. You must remove distractions. Remove noises. I mean, turn off the TV set. Shut the computer down. Put the book down. Put the newspapers down. Whatever else is distracting you from listening and talking to your wife, put her down. You must remove any distraction. Now, that's an external. You also must remove any internal distraction. You may have come home, and your wife may have, your boss may have given you a hard time at the office. When you walk in the house, your wife wants to talk to you, and you treat her bad because he treated you bad. Now, you got to remove the distraction that's internal within you, that which has, you know, cooked your meal black or whatever. You know, I don't know what it may be. All of us face different internal distractions. And when it comes time to communicate, we must get rid of all that internal distraction, emotional distractions. See, emotional communication, I learned this years ago too, can be very confusing. I mean, have you ever been able to communicate with a totally emotional person? I mean, they jump from here to there to here to there, and you don't know what's going on. My sister called me last week. My sister's 55 years of age. Some of you may have seen this on the news, but there's a manufacturing plant right beside my mother's house in Hendersonville. And something blew up inside the plant, and they evacuated everybody within a mile and a half radius of that plant, and my mother lives 400 yards from it. My sister heard about it. She went down to try to go see where Mama's at, and when she got there, they had the driveway to my mom's house barricaded. All around my mama's house was fire trucks and EMT workers and stuff because they were going through to where the plant was at from my mama's house, and my sister could not see my mama's car. They couldn't tell if it was in the driveway or not. And they would not let her in, and she tried to go around, and they told her, if you do that again, we're going to arrest you and put you in jail. She said, you don't understand, that's my mama's house, and I'm trying to find, I can't. She wouldn't answer her phone, she wouldn't answer her cell phone, and my sister called me screaming so loud I couldn't understand her. She said, I don't know what to do. I said, Joyce. And she said, what? I mean, just like, what? I said, I don't know what you're talking about. Calm down. And she said, I'm glad you said that. And then she told me what has happened, you know. I said, we'll find out somehow what's going on. Well, I called Mama's cell phone, didn't get her either. I called Leif. Leif was in Hendersonville. I said, Leif, would you run by Mama's house and see if you can find out anything about her? And my sister said, I'm going over to the elementary school. My mother picks up my sister's grandson, her great-grandson, from school every afternoon. She said, I'm going to go over there and maybe she'll show up. 2 minutes after four, my mother drove into the school parking lot to pick up my nephew. And my sister, what did my sister do? My sister jumped all over her. Why didn't you call us? Why did you? And I said, Mama said, why should have I called you? And Joyce Ann said, well, the plant next door to your house blew up and everybody, we thought you were dead. Mom said, I hadn't been home for 3 hours. I didn't know anything about it. You know? And she called me a little bit later crying, I didn't mean to upset you. I said, you didn't upset me. I didn't. I said, no. She said, well, Joyce Ann was about to flip out. I said, I know. She called me too. I tell you what, internal, emotional communication can be very confusing. Now, on the other hand, it can also be very condemning. When you're emotionally upset, you're going to condemn everything and everyone around you if you're not careful. And you're going to create more problems than you already have. So if you're going to pay attention, if you're going to listen, you got to remove any distractions. Number one, respect you make. Number two, remove distractions. Number three, you got to resist the desire to speak. Now, any of you that's been married for any of the time, when you're discussing and listening, especially if it's over something that you don't necessarily agree on, when your wife starts talking, your first desire is to speak up and tell her where she's wrong. Amen. That's the first thing you want to do. You want to tell her where she's wrong when she makes a statement. You want to say, That's exactly what you want to do. You've got to resist that desire to speak at that time. And one reason why we want to speak at that time because we have all kind of preconceived ideas in our head about what she's going to say. We think we know. It's amazing how much we think we know that we don't know. If we knew as much as we thought we knew, we wouldn't have a problem to start with. Amen. We wouldn't. But we have all these preconceived thoughts. We think that we've noticed a pattern in our mate, you know. They always do this, they always do that. So based on past experiences of all different kinds, when they start speaking, we think we know what they're going to say. Listen, interrupting for whatever reason shows you're not listening. It also shows that you're very selfish. It shows that what you have to say is more important than what they are saying at that time. Again, that is another form of showing that you do not respect your mate, that you only respect yourself. Many men that I know have a bad view of women. And that's the reason why they don't respect their mate, because they disrespect their mate based on the way they saw their father treat their mother. I mean, all kind of reasons, but nonetheless, we men need to have the right kind of view of our wife. We need to realize she's one with us. She's one. And any time we disrespect her, we're really disrespecting ourselves. And we're also disrespecting God that gave her to us. Amen. We're saying, God, you don't know what you're talking about. You just didn't know what you're doing when you gave me this woman. No, he knew. He knew. So number three, resist the desire to speak. Number four, if you're going to really listen, you're going to respect your mate, you're going to remove distractions, you're going to resist the desire to speak. And number four, you're going to restate what they've said in your own words. You're going to restate what they've said in your own words. In other words, when my wife's looking at me saying something, when she finishes, I'm going to look at her and say, now, I understand you to say this. Or, is this what you're saying? Now, that question will come into another point here in just a second, but I understand you to say this. I understand that this is what you're trying to say. You know, you can restate it, and that gives her an opportunity to say, hey, that's exactly it. Or as most time, no, I didn't mean that at all. It is amazing to see how women's communication and men's communication, they're on a total different wavelength. They're AM and we're FM. That's the way it is most of the time. I understand there's a computer program out there that you can put on your computer and you can bring one computer language in and it comes through this thing and it automatically makes everything work on your computer. From one language to another. You didn't know there's different operating systems, did you? Everybody thought it was just Microsoft. No, there's more than one. And there's a computer program that makes it work together. We need one of those for our marriage communication. You know what that is sometimes? It's called kids. See, it was my kids that helped me to see that I had a problem in the vocal area. Because the home I was raised in, our tone of voice in our home was automatically about 10 steps higher than the home that my wife was raised in. See, in a lot of homes, there wouldn't be a problem with this, but because of the way my wife was raised and I was raised, and she was all, when we were communicating, you don't have to raise your voice at me. I'm not raising my voice at you. Yeah, you are. No, I'm not. Yeah, you are. No, I'm not. You know? And then when my kids got old enough to understand what was going on, I'd look it over to them and they're, oh, So I had a program that God gave me to help the communication work out a little better. But restate what was said in your own words. I mean, it's amazing what women hear men say. If you say, I'm thinking about doing this, you just, in your wife's ear, you told her you were doing it. Isn't that right, men? I mean, you don't say, I'm thinking about doing this. You know, because you just agreed to it. Especially if it's something she wants. So we need to learn how to make sure what was said was really said. And the way you do that is by restating it back to them. Number five, request information. Request information. Ask questions. Find out, again, is this what you said? Is this what you meant? It's always best to say what you mean and mean what you say, right? We say that old saying, But we need to make sure that it is really coming across that way by requesting information from our mates. And that's the attention of communication. If you do those five things, you're going to show your mate that you're wanting to listen. See, one of the things that our wives say about men is they don't want to listen. That will be one of the number one things that every wife in this room would say. If I'd taken a poll and I'd come around and I could ask you the question without you putting your name on it, you would say that is one of your top three problems that you have with communicating with your husband. You don't think he really wants to listen. You can say amen right there with me if you want to. Yeah, that's what my wife would say, I can guarantee you. And they get that from watching us. And over the years, because of the things that we don't do and the things we do, they just conclude in their mind, he really doesn't want to listen to me. Why? It's because we communicate differently. And almost as many men will say the same thing about their wife. Well, they really don't want to listen. Men, though, say this. They want to listen on their terms. See? That's what most men will say. Well, yeah, they want to listen, but they want to listen on their terms. Understand something, ladies, and understand something, men. You can't decide the terms. See, men think that they can decide the terms. Women think, well, I can do this too. And what you have, that's just good ground for a better argument. Right? Neither one of you, neither me nor my wife, can set the limits on our communication. This book right here sets the bounds on our communication. See, when this book tells me to treat her in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 2, with all lowliness. You say, wait a minute, that doesn't say... Turn over there with me, please. Turn over there. Ephesians chapter number 2. Excuse me, 4, verse 2. Ephesians 4 and verse number 2. I'll begin with verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. In other words, walk as a Christian. You do this walk with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering and forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. You say, Pastor Cap, I didn't anywhere say treat my wife like that. Now, why can we treat every other Christian like that and not our mate? I mean, of all the people on the face of the earth, we should treat our mates like that sooner or quicker than anyone else, but that's not what we do. That's not what I've done many times. But that's what we should, I mean, that is the way we're supposed to treat every one of us here. That's the way we're supposed to treat each other. And our mates sitting right here with us, that's the way we're supposed to treat them. With lowliness and meekness and long-suffering and forbearing, endeavoring to keep. Listen, if we applied verse 2 and 3 to our marriages, it would change pretty quick, don't you think? Don't you think? I think it would. But here we have this that we should be given. Thirdly tonight, on the principles, not only the avenues of communication and the attention of communication, but one more, or maybe two more, and then I'll stop for tonight. C, the allowance of time. The allowance of time. I think we could go to the Word of God, and I'm not going to do this, but I think we could easily prove to you tonight that God wants us to communicate with Him. I mean, there's too much in Scripture that tells us to pray. Right? That's Him wanting us to communicate with Him. I think I could very easily prove, too, from Scripture that He wants to communicate with us. He has communicated with us. We have a whole book of love letters from our God to us. Right? So our God is a God of communication. He wants to speak to us. He wants us to speak to Him. And what that means is if we're going to do that, see, I've had people tell me, well, Pastor, I'm too busy to have my devotions. Well, you've heard me say it before. You're going to hear me say it again. If you're too busy to have your devotions, you're too busy. You're too busy. And you say, well, Pastor, I just don't have time to sit down and talk to my wife every day. You're too busy. You're too busy. You need to set aside time to talk with your wife. I need to set aside time to talk to my wife. You need to allow the time. Take the time. Plan the time. Plan the time. Easy. So much other things get in our way. But our mates are more important. Your mates-to-be will be more important. Amen. They're trying to look at me with a dead face over here. No, our mates are more important. Each day is full of all kinds of opportunities to talk to our mates about all kinds of things. All kinds of things. D, the appreciation factor of communication. The appreciation factor of communication. I want to read a verse to you out of Proverbs. If you want to turn to Proverbs chapter 3, you can read this verse with me. But Proverbs chapter 3, I think, is a verse that would apply toward this. Chapter 3, verse number 27. It says, withhold not good from them to whom it is due. When it is in the power of thine hand to do it. That verse right there speaks this to me loud and clear. Thank you. I said this back two or three weeks ago when I was looking at the introduction of the series. We need to learn to say thank you to our mates. Stop taking them for granted. And I guarantee you one thing. If we bring this appreciation factor into our communication, when you look at your wife and tell her thank you for cooking your good meal, thank her for washing your clothes and keeping the house clean and ironing your clothes and taking care of your snotty-nosed kids and diapers and all that kind of stuff, My children have been out of diapers for 20, my youngest one's now 26 years of age, so she's been out of diapers for about 24 and a half years. But we kept one of our grandsons this weekend, while our youngest daughter that's 26 and her and her husband went on an anniversary weekend. And right when we were getting ready to come to church this morning, he looked at Renee and said, I'm stinky. And I didn't tell my wife, but I sure was thankful she changed it and not me. And by the way, I did change diapers around our house. And it was before Pampers, and when you have to wash it out in the toilet, wring it out and put it in the diaper pail, That's I did that. What am I saying? Thank you, Renee, for changing his stinky diaper. We need to say thank you. And wives, you need to say thank you for your husband taking care of the cars and mowing the grass and different things, for working and bringing in money. And there's all kind of things. We need to learn to thank each other. There's an appreciation factor of communication that if we do that, you know what it does? It opens and keeps open the ear. It opens and keeps open the ear. The appreciation factor of communication. Now, I'll stop there tonight because my next point is a whole sermon in itself. And that is the art of talking. It's a whole message out of Ephesians chapter 4. A whole message, 5 points on the art of talking. Let's pray.